So long. It's been a while. You're going to hear that again. Let's listen to that again. Yeah, that's right. You heard it twice now. It was so beautiful. It's been over a month since you've heard this noise coming out of your headphones, your speakers, what have you. Unless, of course, you just listen to that on loop in general because you miss us. I'll let you listen to it a little longer tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matt Rory. You're listening to Careless Whispers on CLNS Media. And Calvin Chamberlain, my man, I have not spoken with you in quite some time over these fine airwaves. A lot has happened since we last got together. So we are going to pack it all into a short hour tonight. How are you doing?
Has it really been a month? We need to do a better job about getting on this. Normally,
I mean,
we try not to miss more than 1 week. We had some scheduling conflicts. We'll try to get back on a more regular schedule going forward, hopefully.
I'm looking. It was March 6th was the last show that we have posted on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Before that, it was February 13th, so we have not been very good since February, basically, at keeping our promise to the few hundred people that do decide to listen to our fine voices here.
Well, I apologize for that. I started a new job that's changing my hours around. Just got home right now, in fact. That's why we're only doing an hour tonight. Rory's been going to some games, right? Doing some other things. But
Did a post-game show for CLNS Media here as well. And by the way, the playoff games are coming up, so we're definitely going to be covering that stuff. We've got to remind people about that everywhere we go because people love it. Gelso's starting to say that he's being stopped outside of the Boston Garden wearing his CLNS Media press pass, and people are telling him how much they appreciate the post-game show. So apparently we're finally doing something right over there.
Hopefully you and I will be on it.
Seriously. Once I gave up the rights to make the schedule myself, it's been hit or miss. I'm not sure who I'm going to work with night in, night out, but that's fine. We have a good time anyway.
Yeah. In any case, we'll talk a little Celtics tonight, right? I mean, it's been a long time.
It may sound like we're going to have some old news for you, but we have not spoken since officially Kyrie Irving. Actually, I don't even think we spoke since he had his surgery in the first place, let alone the second timetable where he was ruled out. But Maybe we did speak quickly right after that, but either way.
We waited a good amount of time because now we can cover it in one thing. Just after
right.
the season. You know, if we did a show
right.
and we're like, oh, I don't know when he's going to be back, it'll just have it done. But now, we know he's out for the season. Wait, how worried
yes.
are you about
so,
this?
I mean, how worried am I
about
David
you...
in general or it just it, for this
yeah,
year? Or
what,
what are we talking about here?
I'm not talking about the team for this year. You know, we can talk about that in a minute. I'm talking about large scale, how worried about Kyrie are you? I guess that's my question. Because it started out with the thing where it was just a tendonitis situation. And then he had the surgery. He was going to be out a couple of weeks. And now he's going to be out for the season.
Right. And there were those reports before the beginning of the season that he was going to threaten to put himself out for the season instead of playing in Cleveland, and that's how he was going to force his way out of Cleveland. Those have been denied multiple times, but they're out there, so believe them if you want to, basically, is what I'm saying. It's something that it has to be a little bit of a concern, but I feel like I'd rather have an injured Kyrie Irving than an injured Isaiah Thomas in the grand scheme of things. So while you are probably a little bit worried about it if you're the Celtics, as a fan, the only thing that I would be worried about is if the Celtics took a hard stance on this thing and he ended up deciding he would rather walk away. That would be something that would scare me just in a little bit as a fan, just wondering whether if the Celtics know that he has a bad knee and they're going to try and take money away from him and not give him the Supermax or whatever it is on his new extension, and that would be something that makes him walk away if that's the case, that's the only thing that would really – that would really worry me about this injury, because I think overall it sounds like they've sort of done everything they need to do as far as cleaning it up and getting the hardware out of there. And it's just going to be a matter of him staying healthy. And I mean, hopefully another fluke thing like this doesn't happen to him again.
Sorry, Maria, I just had a quick issue here. Thank you for hearing me for a second. I was distracted by something, but anyway, totally lost track of the end of your comment. Can you just give me a quick reiteration? I feel.
Yeah, no, it just it just seems as though it's something that that you need to be concerned with, of course. But I would the thing that would concern me as a conspiracy theorist and a fan would be if the Celtics were to try and hold back cash from him on his next contract, and if that's something that would make him walk away, then that's a concern. Otherwise, I think it's manageable, and I think you just have to hope that another fluke injury like that doesn't happen again.
I mean, as long as he goes into next season 100%, probably fine, right?
Right.
Like, in terms of that. But now I guess we need to get to what's happening with the team, because obviously it's not just him, right? Tice is out for the season. Marcus Smart is theoretically back for round two, but nobody knows exactly what his timeline is going to be.
Yeah,
right?
I'm guessing mid-May for him. That's just a guess.
Yeah, so you're guessing probably not round two. You're guessing like conference finals.
I mean, yeah, it depends on how far they get into round two. If everybody goes like a couple of seven game series, it's possible he might play in like a seventh game or something like that. But I don't see it happening. I see the Celtics overall taking the slow approach, and especially now that Kyrie is out, they have basically waved the white flag, right? The players don't feel that way. The coach doesn't feel that way. But for all intents and purposes, the front office and Danny Ainge, by shutting Kyrie Irving down and not leaving the window open, has waved the white flag, right? Unless of course, something weird could happen. There could be some injuries to the other teams, what have you. But I would say that while there's a way, and we can talk about this in a few minutes, there's a way for the Celtics to still get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then who knows what happens, and yada, yada. It's not probable. It's probably not going to happen that way. And the players can say all they want about how they're still going to try and go out and win games. But when it comes down to the playoffs, if they run into Toronto or Cleveland, I think they're in pretty big trouble. And everybody else is going to give them – not everybody else, but most other teams are going to give them a run for their money as well, if not just be better than them in general. So it's something that it seems as though they're just punting anyway. So why would they rush Marcus Smart back? You know, if he isn't 100%, I don't think he comes back either. He's not someone that's going to put them over the top. I don't think they're desperate for an extra two or three rounds of ticket sales, or two or three games of ticket sales, I should say, in a extra round where they might win a couple games because Marcus Smart's playing. So overall, I just think in general they have this thought of not rushing guys back, not pushing all their chips into the middle at this point, and just hoping for next year when everybody's back and healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, obviously they're in the playoffs. They're at the 2 seed. It seems that teams are sort of, you know, at least some of the articles I've read about, like how it's interesting down at the bottom of the conference, which we'll talk about in a minute, but teams are sort of trying to maneuver their way into playing the Celtics, which I find interesting because I feel like the Celtics have still been playing pretty well without those guys, right?
Like, absolutely, they have. I mean, they've already won more games than they did last year, and yeah, they had those guys for a long time, but doesn't that just show that up and down the roster they're better because they've improved from last year even? I mean, I feel like this team is far and away a more impressive story than last year was. The individual story in Isaiah Thomas was probably the best one that Celtics fans are going to see in a long time, as far as everything he went through and still persevered through. But as a team, I think this team is far and away more enjoyable to watch, and they have exceeded expectations because expectations were tempered on the first night of the season when Hayward went down, and throughout the season when Kyrie Irving has missed games, people didn't think that the bench could get it done, and they have. So I just think that overall it's been better this year.
Yeah, I think it has been better this year. I think that it is interesting, like, what Brad Stevens keeps doing with this team. You know, there was a game where they didn't have Rozier and they had to start some guy. Kareem Allen? I'm not even sure. Maybe you can tell me
They started
a bit about
Kareem Allen, yep.
They essentially had no point guard, right? Or a lot.
Right, all four of their point guards, all four technical point guards on the roster were injured that night.
Yeah, so I know they for the most part had Rozier, but like, you know, if they don't really have anybody backing him up, just that's a point guard. It's just funny to watch them play. And you know, Marcus Morris is like surprisingly had a really good year. Is he a free agent at the end of this year? He is, isn't he?
I feel like he is. I can double check that, but yeah, I feel like he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can have times where he gets a little out of control, right? But
one of my buddies thinks that Marcus Morris is going to be a technical foul liability in the playoffs, and he's going to lose the Celtics some games. And to that, I would say, I would take that as a penalty, because I think that he brings a toughness that will win them some games on the other side. So that's just my quick thought on Marcus Morris.
Well, it's interesting because the Celtics are playing the Wizards right now, and I don't know what the score is. I'm pulling that up as we speak. But that game, if the Wizards lose, right, they're more likely to face the Celtics in the first round. And Morris like really doesn't want to face his brother. But I kind of want to see. I mean, I don't know who you want to see as like a fan of basketball or just a Celtics fan in general. But I'm kind of hoping.
Forget about a fan of basketball. As a fan of the Celtics, you want Miami. You want Miami all day. And I think that if you are looking at it from a neutral standpoint, the Wizards is the smart choice. So, I mean, I feel for you there.
Yeah, I want the Wizards because they played last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or not the Eastern Conference Finals, sorry, the second round. But I feel like they've got some bad blood a little bit, right? I'm not that worried about them, weirdly. I don't know why.
So,
I think it's this whole narrative about John Wall.
I don't know if the bad blood is still there. I think some of that came from Kelly Olynyk, to be honest with you, and Kelly Oubre. But also maybe not, because some of that came from Al Horford and Markieff Morris. But then again, on the flip side of that, three sides to this thing, maybe Marcus Morris calms that down a little bit. Maybe he is the one that sort of made Markieff realize that Al Horford wasn't really that bad of a guy at all, and he wasn't trying to take him out, and he just undercut him a little bit. So I don't know if the bad blood is still there necessarily, but I mean, this game might be an indication of that tonight. We'll see what happens with the outcome of this one. But by the way, Marcus Morris signed through next year as well.
Oh, nice. Got Jalen Brown 21 points at the half through this game. That's interesting.
Yep, I think he did all of that in the first quarter, actually.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep, he exploded in the first quarter, and then I kind of came up here and haven't really seen much of the second quarter. But yeah, most of that was done in the first quarter.
So yeah, I'm clearly I'm not at my best because I'm all over the place, but that's okay. Every once in a while, I have to open the finger.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to the matchups then, because quickly, let's talked about it briefly, but I think in general, the matchup you want, the Celtics fans want to see is Miami, because who knows what they're going to bring to the table, and I've been harping on this for a couple of weeks on various shows, is the fact that Hassan Whiteside doesn't like the way he's used at the end of games, and I'm not sure if they've changed that since he came out and said something, but just that in and of itself is not a good thing. So I think Miami's the weakest of the three possible opponents. And it looks like they're going to fall into that seventh seed, actually, Calvin, because if Washington does end up losing this game tonight, they will be a game behind with one game to play. So I'm not sure where the tiebreaker falls, but Washington is sort of on a little bit of a tailspin here at the end of the season.
So Hassan Whiteside played 21 minutes in the game against the Thunder, didn't play at all in the fourth quarter, and they got outscored by 27. The Heat keep going small with their late-game lineups. I guess my question to you then about the Heat is, are you more intimidated by them if they play Hassan Whiteside more, or even Adebayo, or do you think that, like, they're less scary if they do that?
I would prefer to not see Whiteside, and either way, I think that the Celtics are better off because it seems like it's a little bit of turmoil down there right now. But I would prefer to not see Whiteside because if he's playing well, he's one of those big man centers that the Celtics don't really have anyone that can guard him. I mean, once Baines gets his minutes, there's really not much else as far as defense against a guy like that because as good as Greg Monroe has been for the Celtics and as great as he has been on offense, he had a triple-double the other night in a garbage-time game, if you will. The whole game was garbage-time, in my opinion. But basically, Greg Monroe has looked really good on offense and not so great on defense. So I wouldn't trust him to guard Hassan Whiteside. And at that point, if he's on and the Heat – see, the thing that doesn't worry me about the Heat is that they clearly are not gearing things up for him. If the Heat treated Hassan Whiteside the way that the Detroit Pistons treated Andre Drummond, I feel like the Celtics could be in trouble in that type of series. If they geared the game towards Hassan Whiteside and let him sort of roam around and get rebounds and put back dunks and all this sort of thing and guard the paint, I think the Celtics might have some trouble. But they don't treat him that way for whatever reason. I don't know why. He looked like he had that type of talent, but they're not doing it. They're going small. So I'm not worried about the Heat because of their coaching and the way that they sort of handle their roster. But otherwise, yeah, I think that they would be a better team with Whiteside out there.
Yeah, I think so too. It's funny that they decided to play like that. I guess, like, I understand the Adebayo thing because I think that he's become a better version of Whiteside, you know what I mean? Like, I think that offensively he sort of doesn't slow them down the same way. And defensively he doesn't make the, even though Whiteside has a crazy block, like, he doesn't sort of make the same night-to-night mistakes that Whiteside makes. So I guess I like him quite a bit, but I just think that they should be playing with the center, but they're going with this positionless thing that everybody's trying to do, which is fine, but, like, I don't know. I don't think it Matt plays into the Celtics' hands. This would be a really interesting playoff to see how certain teams. I mean, certainly, look, obviously, you would much rather see the Heat
or even the Wizards probably, right, than Milwaukee, who could tank their way down to the 7th seed or even get to the 7th seed by losing. Milwaukee's not completely out of it.
They've only got one game left, and they don't look like they're trying to lose, but I guess they could get to that 7th seed, and that's the type of thing that would scare me. Talk about not being able to guard Hassan Whiteside. I mean, I think Milwaukee showed it the other night. The Celtics don't really have anyone that can guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's as if, I mean, he's a beast. They don't have anyone that's going to keep up with him. I don't care how you feel about Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown on the wing and their defense. Brown has taken steps forward this year that I didn't think he was going to take. He's still not staying with Antetokounmpo. And guess what? They didn't have anyone last year either. So this is something that it could be a problem for the Celtics if they see the Bucks in the playoffs. But I don't know if the rest of that Bucks team is going to be enough to win a playoff series. You would be asking a lot from guys like Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe, and hopefully for them, Brogdon off the bench. But I wouldn't look at the Bucks as a team that's too scary outside of Giannis. So if you can find a way to do the whole let Giannis have his points and stop everybody else like they used to do to LeBron, then I like their chances. And this is what I was getting at earlier when I was saying there's a way for the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. If they win their first round matchup, let's just assume that happens, because we're not giving any of these teams the edge. We're saying that it would be tough matchups, and I mean maybe you are, but it doesn't sound like you are. And then if they can avoid Cleveland, because Cleveland may be that 4 seed, and that's they're in a jockeying position there. So this is where you're not really sure what happens. If they can avoid Cleveland and then get Philly or whoever the 6th seed is in the second round, that to me seems like another toss-up series type of situation. So that is how the Celtics could still get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a small window. It's a small possibility, but it's there.
So, Rory, the Heat played the Raptors in their final game, who have nothing to play for, right? They'll probably be resting starters, you'd imagine, right, for that game. So Milwaukee Bucks have to go to Philadelphia for their final game. Now, and the Sixers have to win that game to hold on to the 3 seed, essentially. So right now it is actually looking like Milwaukee, assuming that the Wizards lose this game to the Celtics, it looks like Milwaukee is the likely 7th seed.
So, but doesn't Miami want the 7th seed as well? So they could try and do the same. I mean, their game against Toronto, while you're saying Toronto is resting starters, doesn't necessarily mean that Miami's going to win the game. If Toronto's as good as they are, their bench could still beat a Miami team that, frankly, probably wants to stay in the 7th seed. A lot rides on this game tonight with Washington and Boston. If Washington can win this game and find a way to tie Miami, then Miami's incentive is certainly to win. But if Washington loses and the Heat can get away with snagging that 7th seed by losing to Toronto, then I think things stay the same.
It is fascinating because the other element, I don't understand why. I guess I get it. Celtics are, injury torn and ravaged, but the Sixers have won 14 in a row, right? But they don't have any playoff experience, right? First of all, they have won 14 in a row. They have the second best point differential in the East, better than the Celtics and much better than the Cavs. Where are you at with them right now? Are the Sixers for real?
In the playoffs, I'm going to play the wait and see game, but I don't think they are for real. I think that they have a lot to learn, and I think that their coach is going to help them. I think Brett Brown, being in San Antonio for all those years, is going to be able to tell them what to sort of expect. But they still have to go out and do it. And guys like JJ Redick, it's nice to have a guy like that. That's cool. Like, good for you guys. I don't think it's enough to sort of instill that playoff attitude in these younger players. And maybe I'm wrong. But you know what? I'm also not on the Ben Simmons hype train. This guy is amazing. He's been great going to the hoop. He's been awesome in the paint. He's certainly probably going to get the Rookie of the Year. I'm not sure if you would get my vote. Right now I'm leaning towards Mitchell, to be honest with you, because I think that Utah is just as surprising as Philadelphia is. But Simmons, to me, needs to expand his game before I start to jump on how good he is, because I don't think he's a freight train like LeBron James. I think that teams will be able to adjust to him at some point, and he's going to have to be able to knock down outside shots, which he's not shown that he can do.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting for the Sixers, and in particular Ben Simmons when it comes to the playoffs, because the shots that he's getting right now, I'm not sure he's going to get those shots in the playoffs.
Right.
For me, it's like, and you can say it's like, it's very simple-minded of me, but like I tend to sort of automatically assume that a team won't do well during the first playoff run in the NBA, because they can't. Because in other sports, like, you see young teams like come out of nowhere, like the Patriots won the Super Bowl, right, with the young team. But like, I think in the NBA it's different because playoff basketball is like such a different thing stylistically than regular season basketball. Like,
oh yeah, and the referees have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, so you'll see like, you know, teams start to resort to like isolation ball and like bully ball, things like that you'll never see during the regular season. People get run off the court during the regular season, and then during the playoffs. Yeah, you're right. Referees have something to do with it, but also it's just playing the same team seven times in a row. They start adjusting. You have a success one game, and like normally in the regular season, you don't see that team again for another month. Like, they haven't thought about you during that month. It's just sitting down and locking into the same opponent, realizing who can guard who can be on the floor for what period of time. It just becomes this entirely different animal. And I think with Ben Simmons, people are going to realize he can't shoot. And they're going to – I mean, they obviously they already know that, but it's going to turn into like how do we scheme this guy into forcing him to take shots? And it'll be interesting. I think that's definitely going to be a problem. I still have him as my Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons.
I was
going to
say, so you have him as your Rookie of the Year. Did you see what Donovan Mitchell was wearing to the arena tonight?
No, but I heard that he wore some sort of hoodie, right?
Okay. So he's wearing a black Adidas hoodie with the definition of the word rookie on it, and it says an athlete playing his or her first season as a member of a professional sports team. So this, ladies and gentlemen, has been my argument the entire time, in that Ben Simmons, to me, and I know this is not the way it works, so don't tell me that. Don't come yelling at me saying that I don't know what I'm talking about, blah, blah, blah. I think this is the way that it should work. Ben Simmons was in last year's draft class. He got hurt. I'm sorry. That's too bad. I know you didn't play a single minute in a regulation NBA game. Those are the breaks. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And you move on. You can't be voted as Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. So I know that's not the way it works, and that's why he's going to get a lot of votes, but this has been my argument the entire time. And I just to show you that I see both sides of it, dictionary.com actually responded to Donovan Mitchell saying, let us know if you needed the definition of played next, the word played, because they're saying that obviously Simmons didn't play. But I understand the definition, right? I just don't think that is the way that it should be written in the NBA. And Major League Baseball sort of goes even further with this, and I think it's ridiculous that a guy has to play a certain amount of games in order to be considered a rookie. So if the mark is 50 and he plays 49, then the following season he could still be considered a rookie by Major League Baseball standards. And so I just think it's ridiculous that the way this is determined most of the time. So I just wanted to point out that Donovan Mitchell, using my argument, even though goes nowhere.
I think 60 is a ridiculous number. But you know what my problem with Ben Simmons is in regard to this debate? It's just the fact that Julius Randle broke his leg in the first quarter of his first game. that like somehow he wasn't a rookie his second year because of that. But like somebody like Blake Griffin got hurt in the preseason finale, his rookie year for the Clippers, and then it carried over to the next year because he didn't play in the regular season. I just think that like that exact point, like making you a rookie or not a rookie, is such an arbitrary thing that it bothers me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I didn't mean to go on a tangent or a rant about who should be rookie of the year, but that would be my stubborn vote. I would go with Mitchell. And honestly, that also just gives me the opportunity to open up the discussion about Jason Tatum, because he would be in the discussion if it weren't for Ben Simmons, in my opinion. I think that he would get some votes, and he may still get some votes from people out there. I hope he does, because I think he deserves them. He's done a lot of things, and up until the other night, he hadn't really missed any games for the Celtics. So I think that he deserves votes, but I always have that green, those green goggles on, right? Maybe I have the hometown discount happening.
I'm not sure that, I mean, get some votes is such a vague statement that, like, I'm sure he'll get some votes because rookie of the year does, like, top five, do they not? Well, I think they, don't they do the point system where they do the top five
right.
guys? And then
yep.
he sort of, so he'll get some votes in regards to that, you know? I think that he is a guy who is not quite aggressive enough to get into this conversation as a basketball player.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to argue skill set and, like, if you want to be, you know, redraft guy, conversation guy, although that then excludes Ben Simmons from the conversation because he wasn't drafted that year. But, like, if you want to be that guy, I think it's more interesting with Tatum. I don't really think that he can pierce those, you know, those other guys, because those guys are just putting them up, you know? And I don't think Jason Tatum does at the same rate.
Trying to find someone who has a list of Rookie of the Year candidates, because I'm just curious as to what people are putting out there. Yeah, okay, so this is what I thought. They've got Tatum as sort of third at Ranker.com with Mitchell and Simmons. Mitchell number one, Simmons number two for this website that I just found. And the one that makes me smile, Calvin, no offense, is your boy Lonzo falling all the way down to eighth, with Kyle Kuzma actually being a much better rookie than Lonzo Ball. So not to get on a Lakers tangent unless you want to hit on anything, I just wanted to point that out.
I mean, you know, Lonzo has been hurt for
yep.
a lot of the second half of the season,
mm-hmm.
so, but yeah, but let me just say that if you like people who think like Lonzo is some kind of bust, it's pretty inaccurate. I'd love to see the eight people who are the guy gets seven rebounds and seven assists a game, and he defends like a maniac. So I think I'm okay with Lonzo Ball right now. I'm good.
I mean, I've been on
I'm
the record the entire time, even before they drafted him, et cetera, that I thought his shooting was going to become a problem in the NBA. And I think that has proven to be true so far. But you're right, he does a lot of other things. So if the hype goes away from him and his expectations are lowered on a national level, then I think that the results will look a lot better for Lonzo Ball. But unless he improves that shooting, I'm going to hope he stays far, far away from the Celtics for his entire career. How about that?
I mean, you know who else can't shoot is Marcus Smart. You know that. You don't seem to want him far, far away from the Celtics. I mean, maybe.
Well, yeah, but Marcus Smart is not the focal point of a franchise right now, is he? He never has been. He's never been dubbed the next guy, et cetera, as Lonzo Ball has been. And that's where expectations come into play here. And Marcus Smart is expected to do a lot of things in a great way and perform really well at a lot of different things. And we also expect him to shoot poorly. So maybe you're looking at Lonzo Ball the same way, but I see him from the outside as a new cornerstone. And to me, maybe I'm just not rating him as highly as I should be, but to me, a cornerstone type of player needs to start shooting a little bit better before I'm going to look at him as that.
I mean, you know, if we're actually doing comparisons, you know, stylistically, you could probably compare him more to like a young Rondo type, because yeah, he can't shoot, and yeah, Rondo,
sure,
you can argue like eventually sort of his style, you know, pushed him to not pushed him out of the league, but sort of pushed him to the back burner of the league. But I would counter argue that like Rondo stopped playing defense, and then so that sort of affected half of Rondo's value.
Rondo's having a good year right now, and he's had a good career. He's had a solid NBA career, and I think it could have been better, and his potential was definitely higher than what it is showing. But to me, he's not a franchise player. He never was going to be looked at as a franchise player. I don't think anybody ever looked at Rondo as a franchise player. But Lonzo Ball, right out of the gate, Calvin, you can't deny this, is being looked at as the savior of the Lakers. And maybe it all goes away next year when LeBron James signs with LA. And we don't have to get into that either, because I know we differ on that opinion. But maybe that all disappears and he gets to fly under the radar for a little while, and that will help him. But for now, we're looking at him as the savior of the Lakers, and I just don't see it. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong about looking at him as the savior of the Lakers. I don't think that the Lakers have a singular savior. The Lakers sort of just have a lot of young guys who, just like, I don't think the Celtics would, I mean, if they just had Tatum and Brown, I don't think one of those guys, even Tatum, do you see him as, quote, savior of the Celtics?
No.
Probably just see him as a good basketball player, right? Like, I don't think that there's, like, I think maybe coming out of school, there was, like, whoa, what can Lonzo be? But I think at this point, like, just the fact that, you know, if you just look at the success they've had with their rookies, it, you know, between Lonzo and Kuzma and Josh Hart, like, they sort of just feel like they have a young base that has value. And then, you know, that's not even talking about Ingram, who's actually the best player on the league. And I know, but yeah,
but so am I just
Ingram,
reading too much into the hype of this kid? Is it going to my head or what?
I mean, I think it was greater coming out of college than it is right now, but it's not the hype. It's just, like, he's a magnet for media interest. I mean, his dad did his job, and so now, and he's a, you know, point guard for the Lakers, so it's become this whole thing, and now I think Lonzo hating has, like, become in vogue, or even, like, you know, Lonzo fans. Like, his name is just easy to say. People know him, so, like, Lonzo Ball references happen. I was watching that show Atlanta, and I don't know if you know it. It's a comedy on FX, the Donald Glover show. And, yeah, and a kid was like, yeah, I got a mixtape. I'm like Lonzo Ball. It had nothing to do with basketball, but that's sort of like because Lonzo Ball is an easy reference, you know? But I don't think – yeah. Right,
no, I mean, Lonzo Ball is an easy reference, so that's what I'm saying. Maybe I'm buying too much into the spotlight that was placed on him and not enough. Maybe I haven't looked enough into what people are actually saying about him as a basketball player, but from what I can see, he needs to improve, and he doesn't deserve to be looked at as a Rookie of the Year candidate, and obviously he was hurt, and we mentioned that, so that goes against him. But even before that, I just didn't think he belonged in the conversation. So either way, let's move on. I do want to quickly mention that the Red Sox are beating the Yankees 14-1 right now in the seventh inning. So just want to throw that out there for anyone that's interested in that. Total smoke show out in Yankee Stadium. So that's cool.
Who pitched for them?
That's a good question. Who did pitch for the Yankees? I thought that they lined it up. See, this is the thing. Both managers sort of jockeyed their pitching rotation to sort of make it so it was better. Like, I think the Red Sox flipped Rodriguez and Sale, so Sale went today. But who did the Yankees throw? Oh, Severino for the Yankees. Thank you, Severino. So, I mean, not I don't know much about Severino. I just, but he's not their ace, obviously. So, the fact that the Red Sox jumped on him is great. And I just wanted to point that out because I just was scrolling through Twitter and saw that they were winning. Big time.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is Tatum getting more hype than Kuzma? Other than the age difference, just in terms of looking at the years. He's averaging more points, more rebounds.
10-13. This is the way it goes in the NBA. It would be the same
right.
thing if it was the MVP race.
You're right.
Definitely. It's a better team. Like, if Anthony Davis, obviously, it should be considered for the MVP, if not given the MVP this year, in my opinion. If he was on a team that was doing a little bit better, even though New Orleans is kind of on a tear in their own right, then I think he would be the outright MVP. But instead, people are going to look over at LeBron James. Some people are probably going to give votes to DeMar DeRozan. And, of course, James Harden is very likely to run away with this thing because Houston has been so, so good.
Nobody's giving DeMar DeRozan MVP, Dave. You're out of your mind.
You don't think so?
Maybe like a fifth place or two.
I think that he's going to get some sort of votes just because he's looked at as the number one player on the number one team in the Eastern Conference. And if Cleveland finishes with 51 wins, they didn't perform the way that people thought they would. LeBron will still get votes because he's LeBron, but I think a lot of those, not a lot, but some of the votes that people are going to give to an Eastern Conference player, because you know there's that bias as well, will go to DeRozan. Don't be surprised if he's up there higher than you think. But I mean, it really comes down to Harden, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, in my opinion.
Yeah, Harden's going to win it going away. It'll be number two will be interesting. I would guess that LeBron gets number two, even though I'm not sure that he deserves it. I would guess Anthony Davis goes number three. I'm going to call out my guessing right now. Let me see who else is out here. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess.
I mean,
Lillard gets a surprise number.
Lillard gets some votes there. I was going to say, is there a Golden State player in the mix? Just because, I don't see it happening.
Both of them were
hurt quite a bit this year.
I think Durant has been mostly healthy, but the problem with Durant has sort of been his technical foul behavior and sort of his babyish behavior. You know what? I'll say Durant. I'm looking at Durant. He's still got these numbers. Putting up these numbers.
All right.
But it's hard. I'm going to say Durant gets fifth. It's going to be hard, though, for him to get fifth. You're right. But, I mean, he's shooting, 51% from the field, 42% from three.
Yeah, he's still having a great year. Can't deny that.
Game.
So I'm sure he'll get votes just for that, you know?
Yeah, I think he'll get, either him or Giannis will get that last spot.
Giannis, I don't know, man. That's where I'm saying that votes should go to DeRozan more than they should go to Giannis. Honestly, I would throw, as much as I just bashed him for the Rookie of the Year, I would throw votes to Ben Simmons before I throw him to Giannis. I think Milwaukee is underachieved, and they have a lot of talent around him. And I mean, blame it on what you will, but I wouldn't just throw votes to him if that's going to be where if we're throwing votes around, you know?
I mean, how much of it is Giannis' fault? Guy's doing everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of talent around him. Maybe they haven't utilized him that well, and that's why their coach, Jason Kidd, was fired, among other reasons, just because he's a bad coach. I hope he doesn't get another coaching job. Or maybe I do hope he does so I can bash him some more.
Wow.
Either way.
Why do you hate Jason Kidd so much?
I just don't. I've never liked his game. I've never liked his attitude. I've never liked him as a person from the stories that have come up in the news over the course of his career and life. He seems like a smarmy wannabe gangster or something. And I don't like Jason Kidd. Never have, never will. And I think he's a bad coach on top of it. And on top of all those things I just said, I don't think that he's a good NBA coach. There are NBA coaches that I don't like, but I think I can acknowledge they're good coaches. Spoelstra.
Wait.
I don't like him. I think he's squirmy as well, but he's a pretty good coach, and I can acknowledge that. I think he has his flaws, and he's not one of the best, but he's better than Jason Kidd. So I see it. I can see a couple different guys like that, but I don't think I'll ever have a soft spot for Jason Kidd in any means.
Do you know Giannis is getting 10 rebounds and 5 assists a game? 10 rebounds.
I mean, it's very impressive.
But not impressive enough to get into that top 5 of yours?
I don't think so. I mean...
All right, fair enough. I tried to change your mind half-heartedly. If I had more energy, I would have really put some work into that.
If you had more energy. Well, let's see. Quickly. Dirk Nowitzki is coming back next year.
Oh, yeah.
30 seconds on Dirk. How do you feel about that?
I mean, this is like a basketball being held hostage, right? Like,
wait, say that again?
Would you want them to? It's hard. It's hard, right? It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, someone once said. But, like, let's say Paul Pierce wanted to come back right now. Would
sure.
you be happy about that, or would it bother you?
No.
Out of curiosity.
I mean, the Celtics are so decimated in this very instance that I would sort of say, well, why not? In nostalgia, they're not going anywhere. Bring him back for whatever, and he doesn't have to see the floor. But Dirk coming back for a full season after, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of apples to oranges because Pierce has already been out of the league.
Yeah.
And off of the team for a little while as well. He was on two different teams after the Celtics. So you have to factor that in as well. But the thing with Dirk is just that Mark Cuban promised Dirk a lifetime contract, basically. And I think that Dirk might be milking him here. He might have fooled Mark Cuban into paying him for as long as he wants, but I would find it hard to believe that they would be able to justify having Dirk on a roster because he's not, I mean, he had a flash of maybe, let's say, let's call it 20 days towards the end of the season where he looked pretty good and his numbers were doing well. And I was looking on fantasy basketball and people were adding Dirk Nowitzki and I was like, holy crap, he's back. But ultimately that was it. And now I think it's a little too long. I thought he was going to be gone, but you know what, Calvin, I didn't go to the Dallas game this year. So maybe I'll go next year and give Dirk a real farewell.
Here's the thing. He said he's going to play next season and then we'll see.
Right.
Then we'll see.
Yes.
But really, here's the real problem. Look, Dirk at this point in his career is too slow to play any position but center. Okay?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah,
we talked about this briefly couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So they've already sort of, like, ruined the Nerlens Noel experiment. Right, but essentially Dirk has ruined that. You can blame some of it on Noel as well, and that's fine. But like Dirk is the key culprit in this situation. I understand like teams don't want to play center, that's fine. But for like the 28 minutes that Dirk's playing, like the Mavericks can't possibly be good. That's the thing. That's the thing about it.
Right. Like, if he's going to get that many minutes, then it's not happening. It's not going to be good for them. You think they're bad this year? Just wait until next year. Like, what are they going to have around? If they have to stick him out there and just try and work around it, I just don't see it happening. And it's sad because I like the player, obviously. How can you not like Dirk Nowitzki? He's been amazing. He's been the consummate professional his entire career. He's been a sharpshooter for a seven-footer from the three-point line, and he's one of the best in NBA history to do that. So there's not much that you can say bad about this guy, but it's one of these things where it's sort of like, oof, one foot out the door. I know it's a lot of money, but if I'm a Mavs fan, I'm sort of like, not really sure if I want this guy around anymore.
Yeah, it's like, it's not only that. Like, if he, here's the thing. If Dirk Nowitzki was like, yes, bring me back. I'll take on any role you want. I just want to mentor the guys. I just want to hang out.
Veterans minimum type of thing.
Yeah, I want to be the Nick Collison of the Mavericks. It would make sense. But, like, he's going to start. Yeah, I was shocked to find out that Nick Collison was still on the Thunder the other day. But, anyway. Yeah, he's going to start. You know, they're not. Do you think Dirk Nowitzki's coming off the freaking bench? Dirk.
No. And that's, I think that's part of the reason that, that Pierce was kind of rolled out of town. Because I don't think that he wanted to really come off the bench, and they, it was clear that they were going to start going in a different direction. So I think that's part of it. And that I this is speculation, but I would imagine that that was something that was pitched to Paul when it was discussed with him and Kevin Garnett that they're, the Celtics were looking to move them. That has to be something that they talked about, because, I mean, you, if you're going to respect the players enough to, A, Garnett had a no-trade clause. He had to sign off on it. And B, let, by all accounts, Garnett make sure that Pierce was leaving, right, or was okay to leave with him, what have you, then you're going to tell them all the reasons. You're going to even – you'd probably even let them defend themselves and say, well, what about this, and why wouldn't it work if we did this or that? And ultimately make that decision, and which is what the Celtics did. And the point of me saying that is sort of like, I feel like you're right. Like, the Mavericks are giving themselves no choice, but by keeping him and signing him again. I mean, you're not going to just throw him on the bench and let him come off the bench. I mean, maybe you are, maybe he does that. And if he does, I would commend him for it, but I'm with you. I would imagine he's going to be a starter for them, and that's not going to bode well again. And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. I like Dirk, like you said. I just don't think it's good for the Mavericks. I guess it's good for the Mavericks if they're planning on tanking again, right? But I can't imagine Mark Cuban would be happier with another year of them just being bad. But
what is it about the Mavericks and the Suns being connected somehow? Through time and space, with whether it be Steve Nash or them both tanking this year, and just it always seems like one's chasing the other. And this year it looks like Dallas is chasing Phoenix to the bottom of the barrel here. But I thought that they would run a little bit better than that. I'm interested to see what happens with them going forward, but not so good this year. If you're worse than Sacramento, in my mind, especially lately, you're in big trouble.
Was Mike Finley on the Suns at some point, or am I just imagining that?
Michael Finley was a Mavs guy. I don't know if he played for the Suns. Maybe he did.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just going to assume he did. So, Celtics are down 7 currently to the Wizards. Are you multicasting
that
on TNT?
What's that?
I said the Wizards are up on the Celtics.
Yep.
Are you multitasking that on TNT? Are you just?
No, I'm not. I don't have the TV on. In this room, I was just looking at the Celtics app, which is apparently not correct. It's telling me they're only down 4, but that's clearly not true. Stupid app. Maybe I'll look at a better app. No offense, Celtics.
Huh.
Anyway. Michael Finley did not play for... Oh, no, he did. He was drafted by Phoenix, and then he went to Dallas... Actually, he played for the Celtics in his final season. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I remember that season now.
He split time between San Antonio and the Celtics, 2009-10, right after the Celtics won the title, actually. Michael Finley came on as one of those veteran signees, and they thought that they were gonna have a chance. And I think, is this the same year that Garnett got hurt? 9-10, or was that 8-9? Either way, Finley played for them, and they thought they were going to go on another run, and it didn't work out because he looked very old.
9-10 was when they lost to the Lakers in the finals.
Right. Okay. So it was after the Garnett had gotten hurt,
right.
And it was when Perkins, I guess, got hurt in the final game right there, Game 7, right? So that's yes. Yeah. All right. So it was the year after Garnett had gotten hurt. They went out and got Michael Finley in a buyout from the Spurs, I believe. And or maybe it was a trade. Who knows? but he played fairly well for the Celtics in 20 games. It's funny you mentioned him tonight. That's
yeah.
It's one of those guys.
For Celtics fans, Kendrick Perkins was terrible in that series, and sort of hurt the Celtics the entire series. So I don't think him being out in Game 7 anything. But
anyway, all right. We're about
that,
done here. We're about done here. Just a few minutes left. Anything else you want to throw out there? You had mentioned like.
I just had a thought or two on Odell Beckham. I guess. I'll get it out. I was going to save it for next time, but. So you saw that he was caught in a sort of Instagram video with some unknown white powder on a table.
Uh-huh.
And,
I bet it was.
Now
I bet it was like, powdered sugar. He was probably making some French toast or something.
Here's the thing. One, we don't know it was his. Maybe it was hers, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Right. If you're in a situation where, you found the company of a delightful person, and it turned out that they had some powder for their own use, would you forcibly end the interaction immediately?
I don't think I would forcibly end it immediately, but I would certainly try and figure out a way to get out of that situation and see how often this happens, because I think that's a dark path to follow. And most, unless, like I said, you're making French toast, I don't want anything to do with that.
Not everyone has time to do a full investigation, right? The first time the powder comes up, it's already a wrap for you, or are you sort of asking some questions after that, or what's happening then?
Certainly asking some questions and trying to get the hell out of there, probably.
All this is to say that, the NFL has their policies, none of which Odell Beckham has violated. He's the best player on the Giants, and, I don't want to see him get traded. I don't really care about anything else other than the fact that he's awesome. I don't care. Look, there are guys who do steroids, get busted for 4 games in the NFL, and nobody cares about those, right? Nobody cares at all about anybody doing anything in the
Man,
NFL. And
the NFL is the epitome of hypocrisy, Calvin, in this country. Well, not
yeah.
the epitome anymore, but it was until certain political things happened. Anyway, you never know which way they're going to go. They throw the grass up in the air and see which way the wind is blowing, and then they take their shot. It's like they're at the Masters. And that just wraps up everything in our topics list tonight.
Yeah, you're right. So, like I said earlier, we're going to try to get back to doing more regular shows. I'm off next Tuesday, so hopefully we'll do a show then. I don't know what the playoff schedule is going to be. Maybe that'll conflict, but we'll try.
I knew this, actually. Hold on. Or I had speculated this. Because the Bruins are home on Saturday. And... damn it.
Wouldn't get preempted
by
Bruins
hockey, right? It must be Monday, I think. Saturday, Monday? Where is this stupid thing? Yeah. The Bruins are Thursday, Saturday. Oh, no, they're in Toronto Monday. So the Celtics would be playing Sunday, probably. And then again, I would think Tuesday. So there might be a home game on Tuesday that I'll be going to, but we'll have to wait and see on that. Otherwise, we will certainly figure out a schedule to get back on.
All right, sounds good, buddy. Again, sorry I was not on top of my game this week, but I will definitely be more prepared.
That's all right. Apologize to the people, not to me. I'm all good. All right,
no,
we out.
I'm apologizing to them. I know you're good.
Bye. Yeah, keep going. You got to keep apologizing before I hit the buttons.
I'm just really, really sorry, everybody. Let me tell you something. There's no one alive more apologetic than me right now.
Uh-huh.
Planet. I was going to make a political joke, but I decided not to.
Okay.
So,
well,
instead I'll just say hi to everyone. We'll see.
Thanks for listening.